My dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is risen and he is alive. And he keeps showing up in places where you least expect him. On the morning of his resurrection, Jesus shows up just outside his empty tomb and reveals himself to Mary Magdalene. And later that day, he walks along a road with two disciples and revealed himself by interpreting the scriptures to them concerning himself, and then finally opening their eyes to recognize him when he broke bread in their home. And in the evening of that same day, Jesus shows up in a locked room, revealing himself to 10 disciples by his wounds and by his word of peace. And now, he shows up on the seashore in Galilee, preparing a meal for his disciples. Jesus is showing up in places that you least expect him, revealing himself by his words and with his presence, comforting those who are weeping, igniting the hearts of those who are discouraged, giving peace and a mission to those incapacitated by fear, and now filling the empty nets and bellies of empty-handed fishermen. Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the Zebedee brothers James and John, and two other unnamed disciples are at the Sea of Tiberias, also known as the Sea of Galilee. Sometimes during the 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. And Simon Peter wants to go fishing, and why not? He's a fisherman, as also are the James and John. And so off they go into a boat at dusk and fish all night, and they catch nothing. This story should sound a little familiar. No, not about getting skunked when you go fishing. That's my story far too often. But no, remember way back when Jesus walked along the seashore of this same lake, and Peter, James, and John and some other disciples had caught nothing all night, and Jesus tells them to cast their nets into the water. Lo and behold, they hauled in a load of fish so great that the nets were breaking. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So here they are, daybreak, 3 years later. Jesus appears on shore, but the disciples, they don't recognize him, somewhat like the disciples on the Emmaus Road. Jesus says, "Hey, children, have you caught anything?" And they answered, "No." Jesus has them cast the net on the right side of the boat, and again, the net bursting with fish, 153 fish, large fish to be exact. And it's John who's the first to recognize him. "It's the Lord, Jesus, the same Lord who caused those fish to swim into his net when he became a fisher of men." And Peter quickly pulls up his robe, which had been tied around his waist, and hops out of the boat, swims to shore. There to greet Peter is Jesus, who's already been fixing breakfast and has some fish cooking on a charcoal fire. Peter hauls the net ashore and they count, 153 fish. And unlike the last time this happened, the net wasn't torn in spite of the catch. And Jesus invites his disciples to come and have breakfast with him. A feast of bread and fish. In the breaking of the bread at the close of the day of Emmaus Road, he reveals himself, and just like here, eating bread, fish, their eyes are opened. They know it's the Lord. Plenty of fish and bread, that also sounds a little bit like the feeding of the 5,000 in the wilderness, doesn't it? And the last time we heard about a charcoal fire, Peter was warming his hands and denying that he had anything to do with Jesus. Interesting. What's going on here? This whole episode is full of fulfillment and everything coming together in Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is not simply an event in history or a freakish exception to the rule that dead men don't rise. No, Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of the end and the end of the beginning. It signals the last days of the old creation and the first day of the new creation. Jesus has landed on the shore of the resurrection, and what remains is for the dragnet of the kingdom of God to haul in a redeemed humanity out of the sea of death to the shore of resurrected life. And there, waiting to receive you on this shore, is Christ the Lamb who was slain but lives. His blood has ransomed a people for God from every tribe, every nation, every people and tongue. And he's made us to reign with him in his kingdom and has given us a place in his priesthood. And you and I are a part of that kingdom. You and I are part of that royal priesthood, baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection. Your sins have been washed away by his blood, and your life has been redeemed from death. You've been caught in the dragnet of Jesus' death, resurrection, and hauled into the boat, the ark of the church, where you are safe until you safely reach the shore on that last day. And until that day, Jesus keeps showing up in the most unexpected places, gathering himself to himself into the dragnet of his grace and salvation, fish of all sorts and kinds, from the ugly bottom feeders to the top water fighters, the large ones to the very small ones. He died and rose for all. Jesus unexpectedly shows up and reveals himself on another road to a man hell-bent on destroying the church. He gave Saul of Tarsus new eyes to see, made him a new man in the waters of his baptism, a man once dead set on putting to death the followers of Christ, gave his life unto death for Christ's gospel. And Jesus shows up here this morning in the ordinary waters of this font to baptize little Esther Keith, gathering her to himself, adopting her as his own child. This is the way of our Lord. And he will keep showing up, revealing himself as the one who gathers sinners to himself into the boat of his salvation to bring them safely to the shore of their eternal home. Until that day, little Esther, you, me, we live as justified sinners, covered in Christ's righteousness, cleansed by his blood, living under the umbrella of freedom that allows you and I to do our vocations, whether it be fishermen, accountants, tax collectors, fathers, mothers, citizens, students, workers, whatever it is you do to do God's goodness and mercy to others is your priesthood. But remember this, take this to heart. Without the Lord, the nets of your labor will come up empty. Without the Lord's hidden hand beneath the sea, the fish will not swim into the net. Without the Lord and his word, our labors are empty and futile. The fishermen could not catch fish without Jesus, and they were pros. Peter could not walk on that deep water without Jesus calling to him And you and I cannot conquer sin and death apart from Christ. A priest does not serve apart from the high priest. Your priesthood in Christ draws its strength and life and vitality from Jesus himself, our great high priest, who offered his life for your life. To the disciples on the water in their boat, Jesus seemed nothing more than a distant figure on the shore, a stranger cooking breakfast. John recognized him first with the catch of fish, but their eyes couldn't perceive him, and nor can ours. Though very much present with us, Jesus remains hidden to our eyes. And yet, he gives us the signs of his presence, doesn't he? His body and blood, the tokens of his cross. He gives the signs of his forgiving word through the words of absolution. And he gives us the sign of our baptism, which by which he has made us citizens of his kingdom. So we may not see, but we are not without the signs that mark Jesus' presence. The Lord is with you. After the breakfast, bread and fish, Jesus goes on in John's gospel to restore Peter and ordain him to be a shepherd and the sheep, to be the shepherd of the sheep and lambs of his flock. Peter, the denier, the one who in weakness and fear denied knowing Jesus three times, is restored with threefold forgiveness and entrusted with his apostolic office. The sinner can be a priest. You, a sinner. Me, a sinner. We can be priests to God. And we are priests to God, baptized into Christ, and God can and does use us. He can work through us. He can do his goodness and mercy to the world through us and what we do. And that's the marvel of God's grace, that sinners are justified and that sinners are useful. God justifies sinners in Christ, and he works through sinners. So there's hope for you and for me. Come and have breakfast, Jesus said to those disciples. And he throws a few fish on the fire, on that charcoal fire, the charcoal fire that once bore witness to Peter's denial. And now Jesus cooks Peter's breakfast on it. Jesus always makes good. And it's breakfast, not supper. A foretaste, a beginning, a first meal of the day, but not yet the supper of the Lamb. There's more to come. And so here we are today. Jesus shows up in the most unlikely places. In Capo Beach, California. But he shows up just the same as he promises. And he says, come, my friends, take and eat. Take and drink. This is a foretaste of the feast. The bread of my body, the wine of my blood. Be refreshed until I come to gather you ashore to a feast that will have no end. In the name of Jesus, amen.